Thank you. The importance of the resurrection is not just that a man who was dead rose from the grave, but it's also about what happens after we are raised. He was raised from the grave. And the promises that we have about what's beyond this life. Jesus Christ made that possible at the cross of Calvary and at the empty tomb. Pray for me as I sing No More Night.
No.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, may we realize just how important this day is to celebrate, to worship you. Because you did something no one else could do. You could live a sinless life, went to the cross, died for us, and took upon you all of our sins, and then you defeated death and the grave. And then you promised that if we believed in you, that we could have that gift that comes from the things that you've done, the everlasting life. And that one day, because of this, of your resurrection, we have the hope of everlasting life with you in glory, where there will be no more tears, there will be no more sorrows, and no more pain. Well, Lord, we look forward to that day, and your resurrection gives us that hope. So in your name we pray today. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew 28th chapter this morning. We are looking at the first 10 verses. I do want to say that y'all are looking good today. y'all got some, you kind of dressed up because of Caesar. Y'all are looking good. But you know what? I know you're looking good, but how are you really doing? I mean, how has life been? Let's just say from last Easter to this Easter, has life been really good for you? You know, a few people here could probably say, my life is better. But most of us, we carried some kind of trouble here today. Some problems, some issues in life, and we come to worship God, but we still brought those troubles with us. God knows them. Maybe family trouble, some financial trouble, health trouble, maybe some spiritual troubles. It's all here today with us. Some of us may even be as low as the women we're going to see in verse 1 of this passage this morning. The woman who went to the tomb that morning were brokenhearted. About as low as a person can be. Most of us have stood by a grave of a loved one. So we know the sorrow that they carried to the tomb that day. We all know what it's like, don't we? And if you're not young, if you're still young and you have not faced that, you will. Because Jesus was more than a loved one to these women. He was their Messiah. He was their King. He was their hope of salvation and deliverance. And he had just been killed. He was dead. So they went to the tomb in the deepest despair. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed all that. Easter changed everything for them. And God wants you to give you a day just like they had. You see, I'm here this morning to proclaim something. It's a real simple proclamation. But it's the most important truth that you'll hear today, that you'll hear any day. It is in this day of false news and false hope and false information and facts that are being twisted all over the place to a point where you don't know what to believe. I'm telling you today, I've got something to tell you that you can and must believe. And that Jesus Christ is risen today.
Amen.
That is the truth. The absolute positive truth. There's nothing more true in this world. So let's look at the first 10 verses of chapter 28 of the book of Matthew. And let's just get the experience here. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, did you catch that? Behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brother to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. It's the sure truth in verses 4 and 5 of this passage, where the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Jesus was crucified. And that meant that he was dead. At Jesus' Jewish trial, he was found guilty of blasphemy for claiming to be God. That's what they sent him to the cross. At least that was the charge. Then the Roman governor Pilate had Jesus flogged that left him at the verge of death. Jesus was tied to a post and he was beaten at least 39 times with a whip that had jagged bones and balls of lead woven into it. 5 to 7 inch spikes were driven through the Lord's wrist, crushing the median nerve, which we call the funny bone. Death by crucifixion was so painful that a new word was used to describe it. And that word is excruciating, which is Latin for out of the cross. Jesus' hands and feet were nailed securely. He was hoisted to hang upon the cross. Death by crucifixion is just basically a slow death by suffocation because the pressure, you can't get air. People on the cross could breathe in, but they couldn't breathe out unless they pushed up their feet. And of course they did. It was excruciating pain that could go on for days. And so he died on the cross, and to confirm his death, the soldier plunged a spear between his ribs, puncturing the sac around his heart and the heart itself, and he caused clear fluid and blood to flow out. And the eyewitnesses to this recorded that. Nobody came down from that cross alive, and that included Jesus. He was dead. As we would say in Arkansas, dead in a doornail. There was no, he was almost dead and he got better. No, he was dead. But now, Jesus is alive. You see, what we just talked about was Friday. You know what today is, Mary? Today's Sunday. Everything changes on Sunday. Everything. Now, you say, well, how do we know he's alive? Is this just some made-up story by the disciples to try to form a religious cult? Is this what this is? In verse 6, the angel said it, and in verse 9, and the women saw it. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, and Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. A lot of people saw Jesus alive after his death. The Bible reports that Jesus appeared to hundreds of people during the 40 days after his resurrection. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in John 20. He appeared to two men walking to the village of Emmaus in Luke 24. He appeared to 11 disciples who couldn't believe their eyes at first. In Luke 24:39, Jesus said, touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes about the witnesses involved, about testifying that Jesus was alive. For I delivered to you, in 1 Corinthians 15, I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some had fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all was seen by me also as one born out of due time. Look, it wasn't made up. You can't keep a secret from that many people. Not something like this. Lee Strobel, the author, pointed out that if every eyewitness to Jesus' resurrection would call to the witness stand, it would take over 128 hours to hear their testimony at 15 minutes apiece. Jesus is alive. And that truth is worthy of your trust. There's a lot of things I'm not trusting today that people are calling truth. A lot of questions I have. But I absolutely have no doubt, no question, nothing can make me change my mind about the validity of Jesus Christ rising from the grave and is alive and is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Nothing is more truth than that. One of the most successful defense attorneys of all time was Lionel Lacou. And he's from Great Britain, and he's in the Guinness Book of World Records, 1985, as the most successful lawyer in the world. He successfully defended 245 murder trials. He defended his clients. He won 245 murder trials in a row before a jury or on appeal. He was called the real-life Perry Mason. He was knighted twice by Queen Elizabeth and served as a distinguished diplomat. He served as a justice on his country's highest court, and he was a world-class expert on evidence. So what did he think about the evidence about the resurrection of Christ? So after careful examination, Lionel stated, "I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. It does not take someone to have blind faith. There is evidence of what he did and where he's at now. And all we have to do is show the evidence." Jesus is alive, and this Easter, God wants to give you that truth that is worth trusting. But He wants to give us some other things too. He wants to give us the life worth living. And I'm talking about a life that's filled with joy and purpose. A life filled with energy and excitement. It's the kind of life we see on display in verses 6 through 8. Listen to this again. He's not here, for He's risen. As He said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And indeed, He's going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I've told you." Now, you see this change. They're coming and they're just going, "Oh, life is, what is life going to bring?" And they go to the tomb and boom. In an instant, everything changes. No longer are they sad. They're a little puzzled, but they're no longer sad. They're hopeful. They're thinking, "He is God. He is Lord. He has risen." And it changes everything about the way they feel. They quickly departed from the tomb in verse 8 with fear and great joy. Have you ever been in fear and great joy at the same time? You know, there's occasions where it's something too good to be true. And you're scared that it might not be. Jesus, that great news gives life to everyone who believes. And joy to everyone who believes. See, He wants to give us a life that overcomes our tears. He wants to give us a life that overcomes our fears. He wants to give us a life that overcomes our failures. The disciples knew failure. Especially Peter, denied the Lord three times on the night of the cross. But Mark 16:7 said, the angel said, "Go and tell His disciples, and and Peter in particular. Go tell Peter that I'm alive. You see, God had the angel single Peter out because he wanted Peter to know that failure did not exclude him from the good news. All right, don't tell Peter because what he did to me? No. Not worthy. Don't go tell Peter that. That's not what the Lord said, was it? The Lord said, you tell the other disciples, and you especially tell Peter. Tell him that I'm alive, and you get to hear this good news. You see, life that overcomes our tears, our fears, and our failures. This Easter, God wants to give you a life worth living. And it can only happen if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and recognize the promises that He's given us in our life. And that it starts with a resurrected Christ. He wants to give us something else. He wants to give us a Lord that's worth loving. You say, what do you mean? We all love the Lord. Well, we love a lot of things in life. We love a lot of things in this world. Can I suggest to you that they're not worth loving? Does that sound bad? Well, not compared to God. Sometimes we love things of this world more than we love the Lord. God wants to put it. He wants us to know that He is worth loving. The gods that we worship in this world are not worth loving in the same sense as we would love, we should love the Lord. In verse 9 and 10, these ladies met the risen Savior. They met Him. And they worshipped Him with great love. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped. When they held Him by the feet, they bowed down and they grasped onto His feet. And they worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You see, they came and they held Him by the feet. It's a sign of reverence, but it's also a sign of great love. You better love somebody if you're going to get somebody's going to have to love me if they're going to hold my feet. Right? I mean, it's just not something we do in this culture. But it was a sign of great reverence and love to hold someone's feet. They love the Lord. And so should we. You know why we should love the Lord? We love Him because why? He first loved us. He gave His life for us on the cross of Calvary. He took, and you know, that's not even the worst part of it. You know, the worst part of it, while He was on that cross, He took upon all of our sins and He was separated for a short time from His own heavenly Father. That's how much He loved us. He is worthy of our love. This is why Jesus is our best friend. And in John, He said in John 15, 13, He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Won't you also notice something else? In verse 10, Jesus calls His followers His brothers. What a blessing to know that we can come to Jesus as our brother and friend. We can worship Jesus with great love and hear Him say, rejoice, be glad, do not be afraid. That's worship. People, it's not just coming to church. It's not just sitting down and singing some songs. That is worship when we actually bow down before the Lord Jesus and proclaim Him as Lord God. That's worship. He says, rejoice, be glad, do not be afraid. You know, this life is cruel. This life is not fair. This life can be terribly, terribly hurtful. Especially grieving. Situations with... You say, why? And it can destroy, and it has destroyed some people's lives. Let me tell you something. If you truly have worshiped Jesus Christ as a true child of God, you are a believer, you understand the truth of His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and His promises of what will happen when you believe on Him and of the, you know, being with Him in glory. When you truly believe that, death has lost its sting, or should have lost its sting in your life. No longer do you look at life simply as this little time period that we have from a beginning and an end, but we can look at life in eternity. We can look beyond the things of this life. And we can begin to worship. We can begin to serve. And begin to love our God despite whatever can happen to us in this life. See, I promise you that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will meet with you. He's met with me a few times. It's not always been pleasant, but it's always been true. And He's always been real. Jesus will prove Himself to always be someone you can worship and love. And God wants to give you the Lord worth loving. Not some idol of this world that can't hold a candle to who God, to Christ is. He also wants to give you something else. He wants to give you a future worth finding. There's no hope for your future without Jesus Christ. But with Jesus, you have a guaranteed future of eternal perfection. I'm not just making that up. The angel gave those women a small glimpse of their future in verse 7 when he said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the grave, and he indeed is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him." This was a promise, a little glimpse into their future. Jesus confirmed in verse 10 when he said, "Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they'll see me." Let me tell you that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then one day, you'll see Him too. Ain't that something? Now think about that. The same Jesus that we're worshiping today, that we're celebrating the resurrection, as a bold child of God, we will see Him. Now, I'm not sure how we're going to react when we see Him. There's a debate on that. But I guarantee you, we're promised that we'll see Him one day. The risen Lamb. We'll see Him face to face. And we'll live with Him forever in heaven. You see, they went to the tomb in the deepest despair. But Easter changed all that. They were lifted up with new hope and great joy. For 2 days, 3 days, they had been despondent without any hope. You see, because of the empty tomb and what Christ did in the grave, they had hope in life. It is amazing what hope does in a person's life. You see, they knew that their future was secure because Jesus was actually alive. There was a celebration going on in their hearts, and the Lord wants to give that celebration to us. He wants us to have that same joy of knowing and the peace of knowing that no matter what happens to us in this life, because Christ rose from the grave, we have that hope also. In March of 1993, there was a sudden snowstorm that covered the east coast of the U.S. over the Smoky Mountains. It was the snow of the century. We know a little bit about that, don't we, here? It was snow of the century. Many hunters and hikers were trapped in the park, and there were 4 doctors from Knoxville had chosen that weekend, of all weekends, for a hunting trip to the Smokies. They only expected to be gone one night and didn't know about the coming storms. So they didn't bother to tell their families exactly where they were going. They felt that their SUV could take them deep into the mountains and get them back with no trouble. But then the snow banked up so deep around their SUV, they refused to bulge. This was before cell phones. I know it's hard to believe, but there was a time before cell phones. And No one on the outside world just knew where they were at. And plus, they only had enough food for 2 days. And they were scared and they were confused about what to do. Evening fell on the second day and they still had no contact with civilization. And their SUV was still trapped as ever. They divided a stale donut, one among them, or one found among them, in the back of the vehicle. So they were cold, they were hungry, they were greatly discouraged. Would anyone find them before they froze or starved? That's how gloom and doom they were. Yeah, it's easy to understand. See, you feel that, didn't you? Where there feels like there is no hope whatsoever. And then they heard a sound. It was an unmistakable sound of a helicopter. So they jumped out of the SUV and then they started jumping up and down. Don't judge them. We'd done the same thing. You know, jumping up and down, hooting and hollering, trying to get the helicopter's attention. And the pilot did see them, but the helicopter was already full. And so then the doctor saw a basket coming down, and the basket was a note with one word. One word. Tomorrow. One word. You know what? That one word changed everything. Those four doctors made a chorus line, kicked up their legs as high as they could, and then at the top of their lungs, they began to sing a well-known song from Annie. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow, you're only a day away. You know, they were just excited. They had changed from one moment, from being doom and gloom, and then all of a sudden, one word, and they realized that there was hope, and they became everything, and their world changed. Their fear was gone. Help was on the way. They would live to see another day. And this is the joy of Easter. A bright hope for tomorrow. And because Jesus Christ died on the cross, we don't have to worry about today or tomorrow. You see, God loves us. He conquered sin and death. Our lives do matter. If our lives are important enough that He died for us. We can have the resurrection life today, and we'll always have tomorrow. Jesus Christ wants to give all of this to you today. This Easter, God wants to give you the future that's worth finding. I hope and pray that you have found that future. And if you found it, you might have forgotten. Exactly. How important it is. One last thing that He wants to give you. He wants to give you a story that's worth sharing. A story that's worth sharing. We have a story that's worth sharing. We don't have to be shamed, made to be feel like a fool. That's why in verse 7, the angel said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Then in verse 10, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Go and tell. How many times have we told people that Jesus is risen? That Jesus is alive and living within my heart today? I mean, seriously. Do you feel embarrassed by the fact that you might think someone thinks you're kind of nuts? That you're some kind of a hick that's an uneducated person who doesn't believe in science? Is that the way we approach it today? We're afraid to be ridiculed? Jesus said, since we know the fact that Jesus is alive today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, that we should go and tell. God wants all believers to go and tell the good news. And really, it's as simple as just telling Jesus is alive. He died for you, but now He's alive. And then you can tell Him what He did for you and how He saved your soul and what He's done for you in your life. What a message. God loves you. He died for you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. And Jesus can give you everlasting life because he is risen from the grave. Jesus is alive. And this is the life-changing, world-changing good news of Easter. It's more than just a story. It's the truth. And we need to live our lives as if it's the truth instead of just at Easter remembering what he did for us. God wants to give you this news of Easter today. You need, if you have never done this, you need to place your trust in the Lord. Ask him into your heart and your life. Repent of your sins, turn to him and say, Lord, I need saving because I can't do this myself. Your life will change. It will change. You'll go from no hope to hope. Child of God, there is no reason for us never to have hope. Ever. Now, we may not like situations we're in, and we may make us sad in some way, but it should never, ever take away our hope. Because my hope in this life does not lie in any one thing in this life. My hope lies in one person, and that is in Jesus Christ. And I hope that your hope lies in him also. Rejoice today, brothers and sisters, because the truth is, Jesus Christ is alive. Let's stand as we prepare for an invitation to give you an opportunity to prepare your heart for God. An opportunity for the Spirit of God to deal with your heart about what you need today. I don't know what you need today. You may not even know what you need today. But I can tell you one thing, God knows what you need, and he's going to speak to your heart today and tell you what you need. Would you listen to him? If you've never asked him to be your Savior, would you do that today? If you're a saved child of God, if you've been putting other things before God, and you've lost your perspective about what God truly has promised you and about what your future is, would you repent? Would you change your mind and ask for his forgiveness and begin living your life according to him, the way he wants it to be lived? So as we sing, let the Spirit of God deal with your heart and your life.
Number 530. 530.
Oh,
morning, there's a song that hit my mind this week, and it sums up the entire, everything we've talked about what he's done. Come on, guys, come up here. So, Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's sing it together. And after we get through singing, Brother Dan, would you dismiss us after the song, please? Rest of the Easter, and God bless you today and for the rest of this.